terrific centre bounce and a ruckman crash on him.
When you get smashed in centre bounce, it just puts you on the back foot.
Crawley, Jordy McKenzie, all on the wing. McDonald runs with the football. Tyson takes it. Campbell the body.
They're moving the ball as well as any. When you get time and space and their willingness to really go fast.
They are so pure, so beautiful to watch with the footy.
On Halftime, Pure Footy.
And always brought to you by the Champion Data 2015 AFL Prospectus. Gold embossed. It's unbelievable. You need one of them in your library if you're a footy fan. It's a fantastic addition. They bring us Glenn Luff from Champion Data every week. G'day, Luffy.
Daniel, how are you?
Great to have you on board. Berriesonline.com.au. Help our friend David King out, of course, who's the world's greatest footy analyst, and he's just helping another brother out, JPC Carpentry, building the North one pergola at a time. Hello, Kingy.
G'day, boys. I still can't work out what that bit of music is before, or that little thing before, little sting before you
sting.
Come on.
That's exactly
on
what it is, just a little bit of colour.
What was it today?
Just
what
a bit
that?
Of colour and life.
Was it?
Yeah, I had no idea what that was. Colour and life is what we're after.
It's what we want.
Sting.
Hey, we've got a couple of work experience boys.
We
Luffy.
Do.
We've got some junior Luffies on
little
board.
Luff.
Tom and Will here just doing some work experience with Champion Data Stats.
Well, you know, the two greats of the Samaria Junior Footy Club.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know how many
one
kids have
all-time greats.
All-timer. Mm. Well, that's interesting.
One of the great footy clubs.
They've only had two people apply to do work experience in stats in the last 15 years. These are the two.
These
right?
are the two.
The only two. Hasn't it become sexy, Glenn?
Yeah, well, it has.
Look at you, Glenn. Oh, look at you, animal.
Yeah, it has. I mean,
we're turning him away now.
Yeah, it has. Of course it has.
Fiend.
Look
I'll
at
tell you,
me. I'm
I'll tell you what is sexy, and I know you're a big fan of this, King. Is apple cider. It's yum yum, according to you on Twitter.
Mate.
Can you just explain what the hell you're on about?
I'll tell you what.
Tweeting about apple cider, King.
I know. Just don't
at
leave.
11 o'clock in the morning.
11 o'clock in the morning, King.
All I'm saying is don't leave your phone laying around.
Oh, you're not playing that game. The old I got hacked sort of gag.
Tell you what. You're
using that one?
I did go straight back with the hashtag hacked.
Why? You're going to always do that.
Apologies for the cider type scenario.
When you get the sort of feedback you were getting, it's easy to backtrack.
There'll be a new card on the phone before the day's out.
Apple cider is the drink of choice of the world's greatest footy analyst, and we're looking forward to that throughout the hour on Pure Footy. Now, there's a bit to talk about, King. We're going to find out where we're at. We're going to find out where teams are situated in the AFL at the moment.
Well, let's have a listen to Nathan Buckley, because he put this on the radar last week in his post-match press conference, and I think it's absolutely spot on.
You can lose and play well, and you can win and play poorly.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I presume it's the same. I think the best coaches I've played under, and what I'd like to think, is that you're consistent around process, not so much around result.
That was on 360, sorry. He did touch on that in his post-match press conference as well. And I think it's a great point, because every team right now has problems. Every team has issues in the way they're playing, or a component of the way they want to play, whether it's talent, whether it's, you know, your strength and conditioning department. There's issues at every club. And sometimes winning can just gloss over and mask those problems.
Well, who said that? Dane Zorko said exactly that this morning. Winning cures all evils. Cures all ills. When there's no winning, when there's losing going on, that's when you start to really feel the heat and really start to drill down into what's going on. But there is a sentiment in footy that if you are winning, there might be some sort of feedback, investigation into some areas you can get better, but it's never as forensic as when you're losing.
That's exactly right. And that's the danger that we find up north at the moment, that you can go too far when you're losing, and everything can be a problem. And there can be just so many things to try and fix that you lose track of what you're actually about, and you can fracture a lot of relationships. And that's the big danger up north at the moment. But in terms of how teams are playing, Luffy, we just want to skim through and have a quick look at what we think needs some work, or a little bit of our friend JPC Carpentry, a sort of rebuild type scenario.
I mean, I think a good example of what you're talking about is the Essendon game against Carlton.
Yep.
Now, at Carlton, really struggling at that stage of the year, and still are. But it was a strange game. It was that game where Essendon had 45 less contested possessions in Carlton. And you just drill it down, and the inside 50s were even, the scoring shots were even. Essendon were just a lot cleaner with the footy. Now, they come up against Collingwood, who are the total opposite of Carlton in terms of making it hard to play against, and they got done. And that was a red alert for me, that match against Carlton. I reckon any other side in the competition would have beaten Essendon that day. It was a soft game, and that's just an example of what you're talking about, Kim.
Well, have a look at Carlton. Carlton's a really interesting study. Top four in the competition for contested possessions. 16th for uncontested possessions, minus 153. That's 30 a week. That's almost an extra player or two out there against you. It just must feel like the sheer weight of numbers coming at you when you're playing down back.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like under-12s footy. You know when everyone's at the stoppage where there's a ball up and you say to the kids, spread out. Well, the Blues are there around the stoppage, hacking it on the boot, and then they stop playing after that.
Was that the Bulldogs last year? Was that one of the issues with the Bulldogs last year?
Yeah, there was a bit of the Bulldogs last year. Not to this extent. This is really ordinary. And we've got a pressure measurement that we've used the last 5 years, and it was the second worst pressure differential we've seen in the 5 years of doing it between Carlton and Collingwood last week. Collingwood were very good. I mean, it was off the charts what they did, but it just made Carlton's look really, really ordinary.
You know what this is? I'll ask you a question, Arfie.
Yes.
When playing groups aren't silly, they know what's going on around the club, they listen to the media even though they won't admit it, they have a really great feel on where things are at. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at Carlton right now, you've just got to look to see, okay, when will the message of Mix be lost? If the players feel like his authority has been lost or is going to be lost in the near future,
yep,
we'll start to see it on field. You'll start to see the disconnect.
That's a difficult phase.
And it's a difficult phase, isn't it? And
yeah, it is.
You've been there. We've been there. What does it look like on field? I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like ranked 18th for tackles. It ranked 16th for uncontested possession. Third easiest to go coast-to-coast against, considering they've only played Richmond, Essendon, West Coast, St Kilda, Collingwood. They haven't played Hawthorn, Fremantle, Sydney. They've got an average losing margin of 48 points at the moment, Carlton. Real careful this next few weeks. They can't afford to have another couple of 10 to 12 goal losses. Otherwise, Carlton will have to act.
The stuff outside the stoppage, so the lack of pressure and lack of run when they got the footy and inability to retain the footy. Are we at a point where we've got a nice sample size, boys?
Hello. 5 weeks.
Yeah. Five weeks.
Extensive now.
Took six minutes.
But could it be a fitness thing? Or is it purely attitude? I mean,
can't be fitness. I don't think fitness. I can't concede the gap being that big on fitness. No. Even across the comp, I mean, you can say what you like about fitness. Once players get to 22, 23 years of age, they've had enough opportunity to be, you know, thrown to pre-seasons and session-in, session-out training, in-season match fitness, all those sorts of things. The gap can't be that big. This is an attitude thing.
Or attitude. Yeah.
It's a really interesting point, I reckon, Kingy.
What does it look like?
When you do start to question as a playing group where your leadership is going to be coming from. And not just for the next week. You know what's going to happen next week. But longer term than that. You know, there's a real cloud over your coach particularly. And I've been through this a couple of times. And did you ever go through it?
No, not really. No.
Not really? Well, I went through it a couple of times.
The coaches went through it with me. Anyway.
There is a phase where you start to think as a group, well, you know, where's this all go? What happens here? We know pretty much, we did at the time, that he was, Ken Judge was a classic. We knew he was cooked. He was on the out.
What round, roughly?
It was latter half of the season. Sort of four.
That's okay.
14, 15.
You get away with it latter half of the year.
Yeah. Never this early.
Round five.
Never this early, round five. But I was never in this situation in round five. The cutthroat nature of the business wasn't as it is now back then. So it's a really interesting phase, and how you handle that as a group. You almost got to come together as a group and just play for you and find a way to do it for you, as opposed to the bigger picture of fans and club and coach and stuff. Because that's what's going to drive you, because you don't know where that next opportunity is going to be. A new coach comes in, who knows what happens. So to an extent, you start to play a little bit of self-preservation, a little bit of how can I get
apart,
a look in here?
It?
How do I get a touch? How can I make myself look okay for the next bloke coming in? I want him to like me.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to lose all your team ethos, and that's where you really start to break down.
Roosie mentioned that late in his presser, that Melbourne started to do that when Freo got on top.
Yep.
It was all about the individual and not the team. So it is interesting.
It's a really difficult phase to get out of it and find a way to straighten the
ship. It's been flagged for me. I'm going to watch the next couple of weeks of Carlton with just complete fascination of, are they totally committed to the cause? Mm. Whether that be self-preservation, individuals trying to get more possessions, kick more goals, all that sort of stuff, that the pressure is the number one thing I'm going to watch.
Yep.
What does it mean to them when they haven't got the ball? And that will be, for me, the judgment on Carlton going forward. Let's have a look at Port Adelaide, because they're winning. They're a team that's absolutely flying at the moment, Luffy, and you've seen a couple of things there you want to touch on.
It was a pretty tight game of footy tonight, and you know, as you said, and rightly so, Adelaide had plenty of opportunities in the second half. And like last week, we were able to find a way just to stay strong, and maybe tonight was a little bit of their inaccuracy that helped us, but I thought we stayed pretty strong again in a quarter where we gave up far too many entries.
That's 150 in 2 weeks.
A lot, isn't it?
Far too many, some would say. Are you reading it? What do you think has to be done to end it?
Oh, no, I think it's not the way we want to play footy. It's not our go.
What odds would you have got if you said, OK, you're down 65 inside 50s 2 weeks in a row and you play Hawthorn and Adelaide
and you win both games?
Unbelievable. I'll just give you something. A 29 inside 50 differential in a game, it's happened since 99. It's happened 131 times and only three teams have won, being in the negative 29. And it's been poor the last fortnight.
Three from 100 and how many?
131.
It's not a great ratio.
It's only a 2% chance. Now, they're freak results. I said
so,
last week, Ports.
So you're saying
they're
a chance.
But, and you sit there watching the game, you think, is this by design?
Couldn't be.
And Kenny sort of conceded that. It's unsustainable what they're doing. So, I mean, Hawthorn's entries weren't great. Adelaide's entries weren't great. And accuracy, they probably missed shots they should have got. They've defended unbelievably, Port Adelaide. Now, look at their draw. They've had a really tough draw. They're 3-2. They still haven't got their game going for mine. The draw opens up now, so there's a lot of upside to Port Adelaide. Mm. But what would you be thinking in-house, King?
Well, I was at that game. It was a fascinating game to watch because the Crows dominated them for the best part of 60 minutes. And I think there's a real, and I know you guys at Champion are looking into this, and we've got a couple of work experience guys onto this as we speak.
First two ever.
They'll be doing this, yeah, the first two that applied. One's 32 years of age and the other one's 28. but good luck with your careers, lads. I think it all comes down to when you go inside your forward 50, those repeat entries, they bounce out, you know, turn over, back, straight back in. Bounce out, straight back in. That was the Adelaide game plan, and Hawthorn did it for the best part of 40 minutes against them the previous week. Port have shown a great resilience to not be defeated when they're competing as a group. 16 guys back in their defensive 50. They've got great composure, not give away free kicks. They've got an ability to get a fist in, not necessarily win it back. But then when they do get their hands on the ball, they've got tremendous strike power, and their bravery to go through the corridor has you fearing, as the opposition, geez, if they get this, we're in trouble, which is
quick.
A crazy sort of thought process. But that's what they've done. They've been able to score. The other day they scored eight goals from 16 inside 50s during that patch that Adelaide had them on the rack. Basically coast to coast, basically through the corridor, at speed, Robbie Gray, Travis Boak, Pittard, who's become a player, Pollock at times. The Ruckman rider getting on the end of it, Shields getting on the end of it, getting good one-out opportunities. I don't think you score against Port on repeat inside 50s. And that
Which is a great effort.
When you look at their talent down there, they're not great names. They're not high-priced recruits.
No, I reckon Carlisle would be All-Australian at this stage. I know it's early, but
not in front of my
he's been very, very good, Carlisle.
Not in front of McGovern.
25 past 12, Thursday afternoon on Halftime this hour for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway. King is looking forward to one of those after Pure Footy for Champion Data, the AFL Prospectus 2015 Gold Embossed Edition for berriesonline.com.au and for JPC Carpentry Building the North one pergola at a time. Bit of a shout out before we get Luffy's response about the repeat entries and power to Brownie in Mornington.
What's he done?
Who's laid up at the Epworth Hospital in Richmond at the moment, post-op. Little dozed up, he says, but we are making it bearable. Yellow and black, he says.
Procedure?
He's had some type of procedure, our man, Brownie.
Yes.
Hope you go well, Brownie. Get better, mate. Hope it all went very, very well.
Some sort of James Kelly type.
let's not go there. I feel sick thinking about that.
Speaking of things going ordinary.
Hang on. I want this response from Glenn in regards to Port Adelaide. I threw him a question with notice before the break.
So they're conceding 22.4 repeat entries. Repeat inside 50, so that's gets out, straight back in.
Straight back in.
Which is five more than anyone else in the competition. They're the fifth best at defending them, though. So that's a positive.
It's a big tick.
But it's unsustainable, mate. They could not continue this, and they wouldn't want it to continue. But as I said before, the draw opens up a bit as of this week. So
they've got a great month.
Yeah.
Power. They've got West Coast, Brisbane, Richmond, Melbourne.
And you could tell by Kenny's last two presses, it's more about we've just found a way to win. Big tick.
Yep.
Best, most damaging midfielders in the comp. Boak's become a damaging
on
midfielder.
On transition once they get through.
Gray's become a damaging... Even at centre bounces, when they step through at pace, I'm surprised by how quick players exit these clearances at the moment. I mean, we've always seen great clearance players.
Yep.
But they're generally being prop, get possession, give it off. Now they're coming through, maintaining possession.
Bursting through.
I like that word.
Burst.
Bursting. You sound a bit like Bruce then.
Burst.
But I want to get up the road a little bit. I want to go up to Brisbane. And I want to just testing out our work experience boys at the moment, Glenn. I hope you don't mind. Tom, what's happening up at Brisbane? Is there anything you'd like to report?
Nice and close to the mic, Tom.
Nice and close. Anything you'd like to report?
They're going worse than GWS and Gold Coast when they first started.
Oh, Glenn.
Is that the sort of stuff that you're feeding these kids, Glenn? Wow. Is that what the diet is at the Champion Data?
That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Matter of fact,
that's emphatic stuff.
I'm glad he mentioned that because I've got some numbers to support
it. Have you just?
Yes.
Who would have thought?
I know. Who would have thought
work,
that?
Good work, Tom.
Do you realise Brisbane have only won one quarter of football for the year? They're one from 20. And that was the last quarter
of
round
one. I'm not sure that's going to bring you too many flags.
Last quarter of round one. They won a quarter for 4 weeks.
That was really bad.
Can I run you through that quarter?
Yeah, who was
just to actually
who,
take that off them
that?
If we
was
can.
Was that the Magpies round one?
It was the Magpies round one. The Pies led by 53 points just short of three-quarter time.
So they're in shutdown.
They were in shutdown, and they kicked the last seven goals. It was just a false economy what they did that night. GWS, when they first came into the competition in 2012, was zip five, but they won four quarters in their first 5 weeks. Gold Coast, in their first year, was zip five, but they won three quarters in their first 5 weeks. The list additions of Beams, Christensen and Robinson haven't changed their contested footy brand one bit. I just look at what they've done in terms of getting those guys and getting Beams in particular. They have had to give up a fair bit. Now, we do all this in hindsight. So getting Beams is great. Fantastic.
Yep.
But it does come at a cost. And if it doesn't correct the problem, and this is the art of list management, you can say you're doing this in hindsight, which we are. But it does cost them pick five and Crisp. Now, those pick five is DeGoey, we know that. And I think pick 25 was in there somehow that ended up with Nielsen at the Kangaroos. So there's a fair cost to getting these players there. You need to see rewards, Luffy. And but, right now, they're not seeing it.
But could you imagine how they'd be going without Beams?
Well, couldn't be going any worse. They've won one quarter of... Did you listen to the previous...
No. Well, they could have. They'd be zero quarters. You could be going worse. Look, it is a mystery. We flagged a pre-season. On paper, it looks really promising in what they could produce and fixing those problems in the midfield with contested footy, because it's been an issue for 7 years now. But they haven't. It's just... I think the footy world got sucked in by... Remember the Collingwood game last year? They looked like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yep.
And their wins looked really impressive. But the facts were they won seven games and they lost 20% in ladder percentage. So we probably overrated their season. But on paper, it looks impressive in the guts. And the worry was the tools down back and up forward. Now, that I keep hearing that's the problem. I know it's a problem, but... the middle of the ground and their ability to transition the ball is a problem. And some of those turnovers against West Coast 2 weeks ago were horrendous.
Well, they kicked 42 goals in 5 weeks.
They've got, what are you, 40?
Kicked 42 goals in 5 weeks. We're 8.4.
So they're last in offense, last in defense.
That's right. My concern.
Which one?
That's my the defense, because I've seen them a couple of times live, the Brisbane Lions, and their ability to counter a turnover is woeful. I don't know if it's an intent issue or if it's a system issue, but they just cannot defend on the transition at all from anywhere across the ground. Doesn't matter where it is. Teams just run through them like they're not even there.
It's a huge problem. And the reports you hear with, you know, the Justin Leppich issue with the players, and that to me, that's not really a massive issue, but he can't lose the players now. I mean, you can talk about all you like about Mick Malthouse and Carlton and having a disconnect there. Is that going to be a problem? Whatever. Mick's at the end of his days. Mick's closer to the finish than the start.
Yep.
And he's been an absolute superstar. So we're not worried about what happens on the way out. We're going to overlook that. But Leppa is in his infancy and he's got a tough job. He's got the toughest job in the competition right now. In a non-football market with a team that's not good enough at the moment, he's got to find a way to at least get them to compete. They're not competing at the moment. And any stat you look at is an issue, but to win one quarter, they just need to start again. They need to do the old-fashioned draw a line in the sand, say, hey, listen, we've got to get competitive again.
I think that's got to be the message from here. just for a net for the next month. Block out a month. So righto, we'll measure a certain amount of categories. Don't worry about scoreboards. Not about goals kicked. It's about these categories. We'll measure ourselves on that. And they may be doing that at the moment. I don't know, but purely work rate and effort measurements are the ones they need to be. 21-1 on halftime. Pure Footy with Kingy and Luffy. Glenn Luff, the reluctant hero from Champion Data, and of course David King, the champion for all that is apple cider around the world. Great to have him with Melbourne's favourite cider salesman.
Yum yum.
Check out his Twitter if you don't know what we're talking about. Hey, before we get further into the discussion, Mick on the road has given us a call, and we welcome that, Mick. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, boys. Quickly, Kingy, a few things. Just, I don't think we should underestimate the losses. Oh, this is with the Lions. Patful, Michael Close, and clearly Hanley. Just a comment that Brownie made as well, which is disturbing. I guess this comes down to assistant coaching. That Crisp has improved his kicking at Collingwood in the 2 minutes that he's been there. And also, do you think there's anything in the swap that Leppard did, Woden becoming reserves coach and O'Donnell back in the box with Leppard, and maybe a different message? Maybe Woden had the midfield firing a bit more.
But they weren't firing last year.
Impossible to know. Impossible exactly. to know unless you're in the box. And that's impossible to comment on, to be fair. I don't think that you can say that the 18th in scoring, 18th in defending scores, all because of Hanley and Patful. They would make no difference if they were there. Their problem now is they're just non-competitive. They're just not providing an AFL standard effort, and that's the biggest concern they've got. All those other points you make are maybe complementary to the problem, but if you solve one of those things you mentioned, you've still got the root of the problem, and that's it. They're not having a go.
Not sure Jack Crisp, as well as he's going, has gone to the club to fix his kicking disposal efficiency.
The structure.
They're pretty ordinary, haven't
structure's
they?
Structure's the biggest
wise, thing. Kicking the Magpies.
They look pretty good last week. No, I know. There's no pressure on them. But
generally, as a rule, they're not fantastic with their kicking disposal, are they? So maybe that's more about structure in the way that the system of play that they use as opposed to what they were doing up at Brisbane. You wanted to move on, Kingy?
I did, because, look, I'm really enjoying the work experience boys from Champion Data coming in today, because Tom landed a little blow on Brisbane's beak.
Yes.
And then Will said, listen, move to the side, give me some air time. So I said, Will, come in and make a statement. Don't just sort of sift in here. Yeah, this is your moment, Will. What have you noticed out and about? Let's talk about the Crows, because I know you've been at me and at me and at me about the Crows.
I'll just say Eddie Betts isn't working out too well at full forward.
Oh.
Eddie Betts isn't working out too well at full forward,
says
Wilbur.
It's a little bombshell, isn't it?
Well, is it?
Well, individually, for Eddie, is for the team,
it's
you might
okay
be right.
For Eddie, isn't
Eddie
it?
It's working well. But I'm glad you touched on this. It's very good, the boys, aren't they?
The way
very
they can just link in to what you're thinking is extraordinary.
It is amazing. They're 12th across the course of the season at turning an inside 50 into a goal. The last 2 weeks they've dropped to 14th. I had a look at some behind the goal vision. I knew you were coming in, Will. I had a look at some behind the goal vision yesterday. And I think it's alarming the amount of times that Eddie Betts' man leaves him to assist against Walker and Jenkins, in particular last week. They had players out last week. And because Eddie's a small full forward, not as much a threat in the air, any time a high ball was coming in, they were gone.
Yep.
Now, it's the wrong way around. If the tall is at full forward, then Eddie's the crummer. But when Eddie's at full forward, the tall cannot be the crummer. So the ability to then counterpunch at speed, and we saw Port do that, 20 times throughout the course of the game, the ability for them to counterpunch at speed was a problem. And it's just because that mix is the wrong way around. Now, I argued with Mark Rusciuto on air last week. Is it the forward structure?
That, no,
you can't
man.
Win. You're
strong
just
man.
A stupid move of mine. No need to buy in there, Will. Just let that go. Is it the way the personnel are set up inside the forward line? Is it the talent? Do they need to look at the mix? I just think they need to look at the size mix and how that's actually inside forward 50, Luffy.
Well, there's a couple of issues there, isn't there? There's a structure issue and the way they space themselves throughout that area of the ground. And also, the way that the speed of the ball's coming in. If the ball's coming in quickly to Eddie Betts as that deep player king, then you imagine the players further up the ground have given him space to work in, and he can be more effective in that role. But if it's coming in slow and they're all crowding back into that space, well, any high ball, you're not going to go to Eddie Betts, are you?
No.
So you either get those guys to come around and take that spot, and Eddie push up and get back front square,
yep.
or you make sure the speed of the ball is quick enough to get through to one-on-one.
That's the normal look, isn't it? And yeah. they rely on repeat inside 50s. So, notionally, you need that tall at full forward. You need that bigger-bodied presence. Now, whether he marks it or not is irrelevant. Yeah. You actually just need a reference point for these smalls to crumb. If they do get out on the fast break, more often than not, it'll be Eddie that recovers first and gets back to full forward before a Walker and a Jenkins anyway. So I don't see the need to necessarily have Eddie as full forward, as Will said when he nailed it five minutes ago.
So Wilbur, what do you very think he did play as the full forward last week?
Because he's a threat, and maybe they didn't have a great small defender. I mean, Pittard was dragged back to fullback at times to match him up. And maybe
which is a good thing.
Jonas at times?
Jonas, he embarrassed Jonas. But I think if you're in the Port Adelaide box, you're looking down, you're thinking, well, you know what? We're losing one matchup down there. We're losing one, but we're winning the battle. We're winning the battle against the six. Eddie may kick four or five. He may have to kick eight for them to win.
Because you try and get, I mean, that's good play trying to get Pittard out of that halfback line where he can rebound where he's been so strong. So that's a win for Adelaide. But as you say, it's only the one out of the six block.
Yeah.
I think the other guy that has to stand up for him is Jenkins. Now, you, as a forward, you will. You lose about 25% of your offensive contest. So the opposition actually win the footy. He's losing 68% at the moment. So he's a bit of an
68.
Issue. 68%. I mean, it's not good numbers. So it hasn't worked.
Is that selection threatening, Glenn? Are they aware of this? Have you rang them and had a little...
No, I haven't done that. Hmm. The other thing that I think Port Adelaide exposed of Adelaide was the back six. And if you can get them one out... they're going to be in a bit of trouble. They lost 7 of their 11 contests last week.
7 of their 11 one-on-ones.
One-on-ones.
And Schultz, Ryder.
Yep, all those guys. And every time they were going forward, once they did get through and there wasn't a repeat entry for Adelaide, they looked dangerous.
What about Paddy Ryder? How good was Paddy? I mean, it just makes you...
It's become quite integrated, hasn't it, Paddy Ryder forward system?
You take 10 disposals and 3 goals every week, wouldn't you?
10 disposals, and I think he had 8 score involvements.
Yeah.
It's what it does do, though, which is something I noticed in-game, when Lobie's struggling a little bit, he's a different sort of ruckman. It's a bit like Cox and Nat Nui. You've got the bigger, lumbering, big-bodied, hit-out man versus the around-the-ground, athletic, can spring up, can still win a hit-out rider, we know that, can get clearances, can put pressure on, can break from stoppages, can do all those things. Yep. So Jacobs was going all right there for a period of time, and then they just flicked it around. Okay, we'll see how you go against this guy. And just changed the whole mix of their midfield when they needed it. I just think they've got such versatility, and they're playing poorly, Port Adelaide. They really are. They're struggling. But the Crows, for me, have got to have a look at that forward mix. So it's a great message that you point out for us, Wilbur. You are
well done, Will. It's very solid work from the Work Experience Boy from Champion Data.
He's got a career, I think.
Well, he's going to need to because they're the first two Work Experience Boys. There's no succession planning.
There's only one. 2 and 3. Horny was a Work Experience.
Horny.
Yeah. Well, there's been a really Rain Man about Horny. and I thought, this kid's got it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was doing this thing, and he said, that graphic's wrong. I said, what do you mean? He's gone, the fourth quarter against Collingwood, we actually won that quarter. I said, what was the score? And then he reeled off the
quarter Rain score. Man.
For the year. Yeah, it was embarrassing.
We didn't know that about Horny.
Oh, we'll never be in again. So you know the bad news.
What's the bad news?
Due to budget cuts at Champion, they can only have one Work Experience guy come in next week.
Ooh.
We're going to have to make a decision.
Make
today.
A call. Match committee, strengths and weaknesses. Pure Footy on a Thursday afternoon on halftime. David King, the world's greatest footy analyst and Melbourne's favourite apple cider lover, is with us. And of course, the reluctant hero from Champion Data, Glenn Luff, as well as part of the Pure Footy team. Now, Luffy, you've been taken by, in fact, you and your friends at Champion Data, Hoiny Rain Man style, have been taken by the performance out of the centre square of the Fremantle Dockers.
Well, clearances in general. I mean, remember 3 or 4 years ago, they never cash in on the Sandylands dominance. Well, last year, they were 1-1 for hit-out differential and hit-out to advantage differential. Same this year, exactly the same differences. The clearance differential, though, last year was +3 per game. This year, it's +8.8 per game. So it's a significant increase. But the scores from clearance is kingy. Mm. It's gone from 3.1 points
plus
to 22.8. Jeez. Yeah,
there's Ross's 2 goals plus
small
more.
Small margins.
3 goals. Mm. 3
yeah,
big goals.
Exactly. And, I mean, their points four are getting into the high 90s. I think it's ranked 3rd in the competition. So they're so clinical coming out of the stoppages. and all their numbers. That I think there's a lot of teams where you sit there and go, right, the draw's been like West Coast. You look at West Coast numbers, you think they could win the flag, but they've had two pretty easy wins, and they beat GWS, which was a good effort last week. But Freo have had the hard draw.
Yeah.
Now it just opens up for them, and they're set up for the top two now.
Mm. Well, they should finish top two now. I mean, they only have to win. Only have to win 12 of the next 17 games,
yep.
And they'll do that predominantly at home. They'll be unbeatable at home. You'd assume, and I think it'll get to the stage where they minimise the risk of bringing some of their elite talent to Melbourne, and they'll rest Fife and Sandilands and McFarlane and Pavlich, these guys that are going to need a break at some stage, and really set their sights. But everything they've tried, Luffy, to change in the off-season has worked. I know that Ross is big on talking about they increased their volume of running by 40%, doing an extra running session per week. It's their ball movement out of the back line has really improved, and they've been able to pick up more scores. They're more aggressive out of the back line, still corridor bound, but it's at a different speed than what it was last year. And then they've also been able to change the mix up forward. Now, Tabiner, it doesn't have admirers everywhere, but he is taking some significant strides in his ability to get his hand on the ball and now hit the scoreboard. I like the use of Fife forward. I like the use of Sandilands forward. Clark has become a competitive, contested marking player in the forward 50.
They seem to be having a bigger impact forward, Kingy, as opposed to previous years. What do you reckon that is?
Well, I think that they're, and I know Luffy wants to touch on this as well, they are a corridor inside 50 team. They do throw the ball to the top of the goal square and say, boys, go and catch it. Because they are bigger than most teams. Their height, their sheer height is a massive advantage. And more often than not, you see them either hit that little 20-yard dart that doesn't go above 2 metres off the ground to a leading player. But if they don't have that player, they lob the ball 9-iron style to the top of the goal square and allow these players to have a jump at it because they're impossible to beat.
They're the second most efficient once inside 50. Last year, they were number one. Now, that would surprise people. And Ross is seen as this defensive genius, but he doesn't get enough credit for how aggressive he is going inside 50. They'll hit the corridor 8% more than any other team in the competition. So that explains why they're so good. Once they're in, they score goals. Now, Fife, his numbers are just ridiculous. 31 disposals per game, 18 contested. But the beauty of him, that you look at him, just from a numbers point of view, you think, oh, he's just an inside midfielder that racks up a heap of the ball. But they can throw him forward one-on-one. He's winning 69% of his contests.
Crazy.
Now, the AFL average is 27%. He's 20% above any other player in the competition with a big sample size.
And he's 40% above the average.
Sample size.
It's two times as good as the average.
I mean, he's number one in the comp now, isn't he? I know Gaz has been out.
He's the best player in the competition.
He has got more tricks. His kicking lets him down. That's his only fault in his game. But the way he gets the ball, if you go and watch Freo and he's around the ball, you're nearly guaranteed he gets it.
Gone are the days where Freo are hard to watch.
They're absolutely sensational to watch.
Good pickup. As is this off the SMS, another interesting stat from our friends at, well, it's not Champion Data, but we'll give them the credit. It's off the SMS. David King's tweet about cider has drawn more response from followers than any other tweet from his account. I mean, these are the sort of numbers we're after here on Pure Footy. Lovey's with us for Champion Data. King is with us for berriesonline.com.au and Wilbur and Tom here with us for JCP Cup, JPC Carpentry. Mm. Rebuilding the North, one pergola at a time.
Been a bit of tension between the two of them during the break.
Well, it's a little bit of fisticuffs. Mm. They know the selection's on the line.
Well,
just give the Tigers something. Before we go, this is out for the New Mexican Chicken Sub from Subway, by the way.
All is not lost.
Give the Tigers something.
Exactly. They're tough enough. Their contested possession numbers are good. Their clearance numbers are good. They've got to stop getting 1-2 handballs. Dustin Martin, Brandon Ellis, I know, is another one. Trent Cotchin leads the way. They've got to stop that. They've got to get the ball in the forward line quicker. I had a word to my man Will during the break.
Yep.
He said, stay strong, Tiger fans.
Hold
stay
tight. Strong. I liked your vision last night. You're behind the goals vision
it's
of the Tigers.
Find.
No, it's terrific stuff. They go wing to wing. There's no goal to goal.
And the Martin
East
handball.
East-west. You've got to go north-south.
Well, wing to wing's probably.
The Martin handball, that was good vision. And that was really annoying. Being at the game, seeing that little 1-2.
Yeah.
It's just unnecessary.
Got to go.